testimony I want to share this morning. It's separate from my sermon, but this week I had an opportunity to do a favor for somebody who had hurt me in the past, and I want to say praise the Lord for that. I'm no different than you all. I remember, someone hurts you, you remember that. It stays with you, but I had an opportunity, and again, the Lord made it clear to me what I ought to do, and I did it, and I praise Him for it. Straighten up. Straighten up. Our sermon this morning is from Amos chapter 7. I once received a warning from a North Carolina state trooper. I appreciated it was a warning because I was speeding, at least according to his speeding gun or whatever it was that he was checking. He pulled me over and, had the little chit-chat, and he was real friendly with me, and, of course, I was real friendly back to him. I understand how to treat the police officer. Friendly, nice, how you doing, sir? But in the midst of our conversation, he actually pulled me back in his patrol car for a minute. Not sure why, but we had a conversation back there, and I said, I'm gonna tell you honestly, I don't know how fast I was going. I said, because I just recently changed out the transmission in this truck. It had an automatic transmission, and I put in a manual transmission, and I was pretty confident that the speedometer wasn't really set up for that different transmission. So I really don't know what speed I was doing. And I don't know if it was that or, again, the friendly chit-chat we had at the time, but he let me go, and I was thankful. The speedometer in your car is set based on how your vehicle is set up. It's calibrated, right? It's calibrated to be right and true for your car, for your setup. And it's pretty important for that to be correct, especially if you want to avoid a speeding ticket. Just like the speedometer in your car, there are many types of instruments in the chemical plant I work. We have temperature instruments, level instruments, pressure instruments. And it's very important, as you can imagine, in a chemical plant for all these instruments to be correct. And that's part of my job. The department that I work in, periodically, we have to work on these instruments. Sometimes we take the instruments and we take it out of the piece of equipment that's currently down, and we take it back and we verify it's working right. Other times, they'll complain and say, well, the level seems to be up, but yet the instrument's not indicating, so they'll call us out, and they'll have us check it against a standard. I can imagine some of you have known at times if you felt as though your oven your oven temperature wasn't right. You settled a certain temperature, next thing you had some burnt cookies. We all recognize and know that instruments are important, and it's important that they're correct. If they're not correct, then they're of no value for what they were designed for. And what good is an instrument that cannot be trusted? Again, if your speedometer is not correct, everywhere you go, there's always that possibility that you're going to be pulled over. Many problems can come about. And again, you can imagine in a chemical plant how important that is. But in our chemical plant, what we do is we actually have a device, or more than one, numerous devices that we have to send out and have them calibrated. We have individuals who are laboratories that we send them to. They're individuals are trained. That's all they do is they set and they calibrate and they set standards. And then they give those to us, and then when we work, we always measure it against a standard so that our instruments could be or should be trustworthy. If you have your Bible, you want to turn with me. It's also going to be on the scripture or on the screen. Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Lim, would you ask the blessing on our message this morning? I want to say there's nobody here perfect. Nobody. Including the one standing behind the pulpit. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting the Word of God says we must be perfect. If it were possible for us to be perfect, Jesus Christ would not have had to have come and died upon the cross. Amos mentioned that God is going to use a plumb line. And actually, he says that he's already used a plumb line. And he sees the wall is not lining up. In case you don't know what a plumb line is simply a string and with a weight on the bottom of it. And that weight usually will come to some kind of a point. Construction workers, I've used them before, a construction worker will use one to put it against a wall or something that they're trying to get plumb or to get lined up. And if it's not, you use gravity, right? Gravity to show you where that line is supposed to be. And if it's not lined up, then you need to adjust your work or accept the fact you have some substandard work. But God is telling Amos, I put the plumb line against the children of Israel. And understand at this time, Amos is talking to the northern kingdom. If you know your history, they were separate. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom at some point, and they separated. And he's talking to the northern kingdom. Now, the prophet Amos is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible besides the book by his name. And Amos is a common guy. He was not a Levite. He wasn't a priest. But he was called by God to go and to share this message. Some people call him one of the minor prophets. And when you hear that term, minor prophet, it's not in reference to him being less valuable. It just means that his book is small. Simply 9 chapters. And I want to tell you, those 9 chapters are short. It's a fairly quick read. Amos prophesied during the reigns of Jeroboam II of the northern kingdom and also Uzziah of the southern kingdom. It was around the 750 B.C., so this is over 2,700 years ago that Amos is walking around and he's talking to the children of Israel, to the northern kingdom specifically. And he actually lived in the southern kingdom. He lived in the southern kingdom in the area called Tekoa, just southeast of Bethlehem. But God had called him to go and to speak to those into the north and to warn them of what was to come. He spoke in the city of Bethel in the northern kingdom, possibly other places as well. But in his book, we see he spoke in Bethel. But the city of Bethel was important to the northern kingdom. It was one of the cities that the northern kingdom first set up his false god, one of those golden calves. Whenever they separated out Jeroboam out of concern of wanting his people to stay in the north and wanting them to please him rather than to please God, had set up these false gods, and Bethel was one of those places. So you can imagine why God might send a prophet to go into the city of Bethel and to give this prophecy. The northern kingdom had chosen to honor God and false gods. I want to tell you this morning, you cannot do both. You are either honoring God or you are not honoring God. There is no in-between. If anything is in between you and truly worshiping and being right before God, whether that's a false god, whether that's yourself, whether that's money, whether that's power, whatever that is that you're pursuing, if it's between you and God, then that's a false god and you're not truly worshiping God. And he's here telling the children of Israel, I'm looking up and I'm looking down. I'm lining you up against this plumb and you're not measuring up. So here in the midst of this spiritual wicked nation, Amos was sent to speak. I would encourage you to go back. Now, I've just given you a few verses. Go back and read that. I'm going to tell you, it's a quick read, and read what else is happening around there. if I read everything about what was going on this morning, I wouldn't get my sermon finished in time. But his letter opens up with destructive warnings against the enemy nations. So he's talking to the northern kingdom of Israel, and he's talking about destruction to Damascus, or the city of Damascus in Syria, Gaza of the Philistines, as well as Edom, Ammon, and Moab. And I imagine the children of Israel at that time were like nodding their head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listening to this prophet of God telling how these other countries are not living up to God's standards, I'm sure they were sitting there. You got that right. You got that right. But I would imagine, possible, doesn't tell us, that they began to be quiet as he turned his finger towards them and said, you also are not where you need to be. Either that, or maybe they got loud. Maybe they began to scream out or call out Amos for being wrong. Israel, the northern kingdom, was enjoying a peace at the time. Peace with its neighbors, peace economically. It seemed as though, from the world's perspective, they were successful. And yet Amos comes and tells them, you're not right. You're not right with God. Sadly, sometimes it seems in the world, in the Old Testament, in history of God working with Israel, as well as in our own lives, sometimes it's in those supposed successful times that we are at the most troubled of staying right with God. And for some reason, there's something about our human nature that when we fall flat on our back, all of a sudden we say, I want to get my life right. Amos is telling them, listen, yes, you think things are successful. You think God is honoring what you're doing. I want to tell you, he's not. He sees what's going on in the background. There was some appearance of worship. They were going through some of the motions. They were feeling good about themselves. They were checking a few boxes. But truthfully, they weren't caring for the foreigners. They weren't being loving to their neighbors. What was happening behind doors was not being honorable to God. Even though it looked as though they were successful, they were not pertaining to their worship of God. Again, success in this world does not equate to being success or being lined up with God. Amos was sent by God to tell the northern kingdom that the end was near. And we know that it truly happened. The Bible tells us that around 722 B.C., they were destroyed, the northern kingdom. Who was it? Who was it destroyed, the northern kingdom? Starts with an A. The country, the nation of the Assyrians. The Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom. We can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. He's speaking about it. And this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. At some point, the children of Israel, out of their fear, out of their being flat on their back in Egypt, they were desiring, although again, if you know the history, there was a lot of back and forth as their willingness to pursue God. But at some point in their lives, the nation was pursuing God, but they had gotten far from Him. Even though, again, from the worldly perspective, it seemed as though things were going successful. See, God is attempting to call them back through Amos. You may remember Jonah, the prophet Jonah, when he told Nineveh, God sent him to tell Nineveh, destruction is coming. What happened? Nineveh turned back to God. They began to honor God with their lies, and the destruction that God had that sent Jonah to prophesy didn't happen. But we know in this case they didn't change. Again, Amos' word. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom, with the sword. You see, God was giving them a warning. Don't suggest just because you appear to be going successful in your life means you're being successful in the Lord. There's only one way to know that you're being successful in the Lord, and that is you're honoring with His life, and that is to lay your life alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God measured them in that day, and they fell short, and we can read other results. What if I was to read, not me, pull me out of the equation. What if God was to look at your life here this morning, not as a comparison to the results of the successful perspective from the world's view, but what if He was to lay a plumb line against your life? Where would you stand compared to how Jesus Christ lived out His life as He set an example? How are you measuring up with the straight rod of God? Paul encourages us, he encourages the church in Corinth, and ultimately to us, that we should be regularly checking ourselves. One of the reasons why we read the Word of God, one of the reasons why we come to church, is to check ourselves, to realign ourselves, to recalibrate us as to where we should be in life. Paul says to the church in Corinth, but if we judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. I don't know if you see in the midst of this, but in the new covenant with our relationship, with based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul here saying he's working with you. He's going to continue to work with you. And what he's saying is check yourself. Attempt to line your life up before there is something that God puts in your life, some kind of trouble that may come because of your failure to follow Him. The judgment that he speaks of here can be avoided if we simply say, Lord, line me up. Help me to see. Help me to know. Speak like David in Psalms, where he basically said, indicate to me the sins that I'm not even aware of, God. Line my life up with yours. Do you understand this morning that anything that God would ask of us to do is not to bring pain and suffering us. It is to make our lives the way it ought to be so that we can find peace in the midst of this trouble. This is not going to fix the nation, right? You and I, as we individually choose to honor God, it's not going to fix everything. It's not going to make all of the problems of the world go away. But it will align ourselves with God and help us to find the peace that He intended for us to have. If you're a Christian this morning, I want to ask you, is it time to be calibrated? Is it time for you to pause and to measure yourself up? Again, I'm telling you, none of us are perfect. Absolutely none of us are. But that's not an excuse for us to not have a willingness and a desire to allow God to continually to grow and draw us unto Him. Again, I shared a testimony earlier about how my response to somebody who had harmed me and how I had the opportunity to do something kind to them. I want to tell you, I'd love to say that I've always been that way and every decision I made has always been honorable to God, but I want to tell you, I'm a man, I'm a human being just like the rest of you, and I want to tell you, I have my own failings. I too need to look at the Word of God and to ask God to help me, to ask God for the forgiveness of those times when I recognize and I know I don't line up, but at the same time, receive that grace that He so freely offers to us. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ standing over Israel and saying, how many times I would have drew you in like a hen does her chicks. And what does He say? But you would not. You wouldn't allow. Is the Lord right now reaching His arms out to you, trying to pull you in? And if so, I want to encourage you to respond. But I would also say in warning, if you're not a child of God this morning, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to measure up. Our measurement has to be in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Childlike faith, just simply trusting that what He did for us really fulfilled what He said it was going to do. Come unto me, all you are labor, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. We thank You for the plumb bob that You sent us in Jesus Christ. We thank You that Jesus, that You set such a fine example for us. Help each of us to look to You, not in a sense to that we feel like we're condemned, but in a sense that we feel like what we that we know what we ought to be doing, so that we can find peace, and that we can be drawn to you and honor you with our lives, that we can make a difference in our families, in our communities. No, we're not going to fix everything. As long as we live in this evil world, there's always going to be hard times, Lord. But help us to not be a part of those hard times. Help us to be bringing about the joy and peace that so freely can be offered and shared with others as we lead them on you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we have for music this morning, Joe? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. I'll be all right. I'm with Joe. We're lost this morning. That's practicing. That's right. We are practicing. Communion. My wife and I, we were just talking this morning with Caitlin. How often time just seems to be buzzing by. The older you get, the shorter it gets. Right? He was talking about how in 1 year's time, when you were just a young thing, 1 year seemed like a long time. Boy, at 55, a year just seems like a whoosh. And I say that concerning communion. Once a month we have it, and here it is again. What a wonderful time to pause and to attempt to line yourself up with the Lord Jesus Christ prior to taking part in the communion service. As I look around, I imagine each of you know that we have an open communion. That is, if you proclaim faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to take part. We invite you to take part of, and take time here to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Those of you who are going to take part, can you go ahead and come forward, and then we'll pray over the instruments. Lord, I ask you to bless each one here. Guide them as they choose to take part in this communion service, Lord. Help them to be drawn to you. Help them to recognize and see this is an act of love that you've offered 2,000 years ago, and yet today, this morning, once again, it's another act of love. Help them to reach out and receive that love so that they may in turn not only sense it in their own lives, but they might also leave this place with a desire to also be an extension in an act of love that you desire them to be. Lord, we ask you to bless this cup and bless this bread for each and every one of us. Lord, we hope and pray that we are making a difference. That when you look upon this church and these individuals who are coming here and worshiping you, that you see us in line with you, Lord. And if there are things that we need to see, Lord, help us to see them. Help each of us. We thank you and we praise you. we to trust in Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know, we understand, Your Word as it says to us that we are disciples, dear Lord. We are those who should be leaving this place to share Your Word. We should have that word in our heart, dear Lord. We thank You that we understand that how much You love us. And it is our duty, it is our mission in this life, dear Lord, to share that love with others. So as we leave this place into the coldness outside, help us to take the warmth of Your love to those who need to hear it. Be with us and walk with us in all that we do this week until we meet again. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.